Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host Eddie Trunk.
Hey, everybody, it's Eddie Trunk, and this is the Eddie Trunk Podcast, bringing you interviews with the biggest names in rock and metal, new episodes every Thursday. Thank you for subscribing. If you don't, please be sure to do so. And as I tell you guys every week, all the audio, all the interviews you hear on the podcast all happen live on my daily radio show, Trunk Nation, heard on Faction Talk, Channel 103 on Sirius XM every weekday. And that's happening 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can listen to full shows, audio, video, more anytime you want on the Sirius XM app if you are a Sirius XM subscriber. If you're not a Sirius XM subscriber and you only listen to this podcast and you're in the U.S. or Canada, you're only getting a tiny, tiny taste of what I do on the radio on a daily basis. So come on board and join us every day on Sirius XM Faction Talk 103 for Trunk Nation Live, again, 3 to 5 Eastern every day or anytime on the app. One of the great things about having a home in Las Vegas that I've had now for the last about a year and a half, actually, is the ability to go there, work from there, and get some great guests, because there are so many artists coming through there or now living there. And it's been awesome to have so many on with us live each and every week on the radio show. And then later, of course, here on this podcast. So recently, I had Miles Kennedy of Alter Bridge and Wolfgang Van Halen, of course, of Mammoth WVH, both dropped by my Vegas place. They were on tour together, and they came by to hang out. And it was a great chat. We're going to bring it to you this week on the podcast. We also have video of this, again, on the app for Sirius XM subscribers. Be sure to check it out. But I was so happy that Miles and Wolf, on a day off, came by my place in Vegas. They weren't even playing Vegas. They were making their way to Reno, and they just dropped in, and it was awesome. It really was, and it was the second time I had Wolfgang at the place, and the first time Miles dropped by. And since this interview was done, they just announced another run of tour dates for Alter Bridge and Mammoth WVH, this time being joined by Seven Dust, and those dates kick off August 1st in Buffalo. So Wolf and Miles are going to continue touring together later on in the summer, this time Seven Dust coming on board in the middle spot. So, of course, at the time we did this interview, we didn't know about those extra dates, although it's kind of alluded to, but it was great to visit with these guys, and we even took some calls from the audience listening live on Trunk Nation on Faction Talk 103 that day. Let's get to it right now. This week's podcast, one of my favorite singers and people in the world, Miles Kennedy, and also rapidly becoming one, just starting out his career on his own, Wolfgang Van Halen. Check it out on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Joining me now in the studio here, a guy that's actually been here once before when he was on tour with Dirty Honey with his band Mammoth WVH. It's good to welcome back Wolfgang Van Halen. Wolf, good to see you.
Great to be here again.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for making the time. And man, a couple of your bandmates are practically live here, but it, you know, in fits and kerns. But we finally got the man himself, Miles Kennedy, here. Good to see you, buddy.
It's good to be here.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
How you holding up?
You know,
I always worry about you.
Well, thank you.
I do. I always think about you. I drop you a text every once in a while.
Miles is a fragile flower.
Nah, I don't mean it like that. I just mean you're always like, I hear that from people too. And honestly, it kind of annoys me a little bit because everybody's like, my God, you're in a million directions. You're always going. You know, how do you do it? How do you do it? And I just, I don't know, I just do it. I feel like it would be bad if I didn't do it.
Right.
But then I realized I just said the same thing to you. I worry about you because you go from one thing to another.
You're like my mom.
Yeah, I do.
I worry about you.
I check on you every once
you
in a while.
You do, and I appreciate that. Yeah. But, you know, I think there's something you said when you're constantly going. And, you know, my philosophy, I heard this years ago, and someone said, you know, being a musician, it's like being a shark. Once you stop swimming, you know, you sink. So you just got to keep going. You got to keep just rolling. And, you know, that's just all I've known forever.
Are you one of these guys that you feel like if you let go of the rope a little bit, that like it's going to slip away?
Sure. Yeah.
You have that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I do too.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Like it's I got to do something every day because if I don't, it's like I'm going to miss out on something I could be doing. And it's like, I'm 58. This is my 40th year doing this.
Wow.
So I'm like, I'm in my twilight, if you will. So I want to just ride it for all I can.
Oh, you're just getting started.
Oh, come on, man. But I wonder about that because, I mean, you before everybody knew who you were, Mayfield 4 and all the stuff that you did before Alter Bridge and joining Slash and all of that, like you put your work in, you know? You put a lot of time in.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing with me is, I mean, I started playing in bands in 1986. So, I mean, I was at it for a really long time before things finally started to happen,
right?
You know, and I think that's part of why I work so hard because I understand once you it takes you that long to kind of climb to where you want to go. You realize that, you know, well, what if you start slipping and falling down the hill again? And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. So I'm just going to keep hustling.
How's the pipes holding up?
Fine. No, everything's great.
Good.
I think when you saw, we saw you, when was that?
It was early, Jersey.
It was early. Yeah. I think I had a nice little sinus infection going then. So that was a little bit of an issue trying to dance around that. But Wolf and I, we've got that figured out, how we're going to, you know, veer away from sinus infection.
Yeah, so Wolf, how are you doing with all this? Because even though you're not, I mean, Miles has three different things he juggles. Alter Bridge, Slash, Solo. Mm-hmm. You obviously singularly focused.
Well, he
focused.
Doesn't sing them all at the same time.
But he goes from one to the other. Would you have one day off between Slash and Alter Bridge?
Yeah, more or less.
He literally had one day.
No, of course.
But for you, this whole experience of doing, you know, launching Mammoth WVH, all the success, everything that's happened quickly, how have you felt about everything? I mean, it's got to feel amazingly rewarding to have all this going on.
Yeah, it's really crazy to see just, you know, after all the work we've been putting in for the past 2 years, to see it come back during the shows, like people singing and actually knowing the words and being stoked. It's a really weird, amazing feeling to see, you know, the time you put in being, you know, given back to you.
And what's it like been like for you? Because obviously you toured with Van Halen and played bass and sang backing vocals and all that, but this is a different thing. This is your thing. You're out front, you're singing lead, you're playing guitar. You've even got, I think, a keyboard or pedal, you know, you're like, you're like a mad professor up there in the middle. So how have you held up with all of that vocally and physically and everything?
Yeah, I've been doing great. I don't think I've had a moment
he's
yet
knocking
where,
on my wood table
where I've been like, oh damn, I can't sing or anything. Like it just when you get into the swing of it, it just keeps going.
Have you used Miles for some counsel and advice at times?
He does not need my counsel. Trust me, he's got it. He's doing just fine.
He's helped me out a lot for sure.
Yeah.
I would come to him before we tracked for Mammoth 2 for the vocals and stuff, and he gave me a lot of advice that really helped me figure out how to achieve what I wanted to do.
Has the immediate success of Mammoth, both the music, the recorded music and the live stuff, has it surprised you?
Yes.
I mean, right out of the gate with Distance.
Yeah, no, I think it's insane to see. I think what the amount of ads we just got this week on the radio for the new song is like stupid. How much it's being requested, and it's very humbling and like, wow. So people actually see merit in what I do other than just what my name is. And
Well, your name is Wolfgang Led Zeppelin. We've established that.
You know, I had to change it back on Twitter because everybody thinks they're a comedian, and it's just, it gets to be too much, man. I just have to, it's like, okay, yeah, that was the joke.
Did you have Led Zeppelin? You had Paul McCartney?
No, it was Wolfgang, Paul McCartney, and Wings.
Oh, okay.
That was my favorite one, but people wanted Led Zeppelin, so you got to give the people.
Miles texted me. He was pissed. He's like, he could have went with Wolfgang Kennedy. You know, he was almost in Led Zeppelin too, so he could have done it. He jammed with Led Zeppelin. I still can't. It's still hard to. Every time you tell me those stories, it's still hard to believe. That's just nuts, man.
It's not. I still don't believe. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. All right, so we're gonna go around the horn a little. Bit and then we'll take some calls from the audience if that's cool, because I'd love to let them talk to you guys.
Cool.
But Miles, give us the update. So Pawns and Kings, amazing record. You know, I saw you guys. I actually didn't talk to you much in Jersey because you were dealing with what you were dealing with, but the rest of the guys, I spent a lot of time in the dressing room. We were talking, and it was funny because as soon as I went in, Mark said to me, he goes, "Here's the set list. Do you want to look at it?" I go, "No, I don't want to see it," because I said, I want to be surprised, right? Because especially first time I want to, and I started thinking and I started being that annoying guy. And I go, well, there is one song on the new album I really hope is on there. And Mark's handed me the papers. You want to look? I go, no, I'm going like this. And I said, the song was Sin After Sin,
by the way,
which you didn't do that night.
Oh, we didn't.
No.
They've been doing it. It's so good.
I'll do it for you right now.
Exactly. But the thing is my point in bringing that up is I said to Mark, I said, you guys have a really cool problem now, because you now have a ton of great records and a big, pretty deep catalog to kind of figure out what you're going to do in the hour 45 or whatever it is that you're up there. So how's that gone as far as, have you changed a lot of stuff in and out on the tour?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I feel like we could probably do it more, but it's a wonderful problem to have. And when I rewind and think back to when we first started, you know, we on the first record, and I don't know if you went through this initially when you were doing like headlining sets where you're like, oh, what covers can we do? You know, trying to fill it out. So now 7 records in, you have this plethora of material to pull from. I think the hard part kind of touches on what you just alluded to, which is
annoying people like me coming in the dressing room.
Exactly. That's the hard part. No,
peace is broken, man. You're not doing it. Fortress.
I think it's the idea that, if you have enough material, people are going to leave not hearing the song they want to hear, you know, and that's hard. It's impossible. You can't, we can't play all 7 records. Maybe we could try that eventually, just do like a marathon gig, but it's a wonderful problem to have.
But when you think about it, when I think of Alter Bridge now, even watching the set, when I saw there are, correct me if I'm wrong, I'd say roughly what, maybe 5-6 songs that are now automatics have to be there. Blackbird, obviously. Yeah. Watch Over You has to. So you have, like, when you put a set list together, you're going to have what, like a half a dozen that are just mandatories, right?
Correct.
And then you build around that. And then who does that? Is that basically you and Mark, or do the other guys chime in?
It's all of us. We just kind of try and do it by committee, and it's usually, we usually have a fist fight, and then that rectifies the situation. No, it's really easy, actually. We just have audibles. So one night, if we're going to do Sin After Sin, then the next night we might do This Is War. We try to do something from the new record, and
then it's like, oh, Eddie's here, let's not do Sin.
Exactly. Eddie wants to hear Sin After Sin. Right. Don't do that.
Right. Well, actually, Mark said the sub out was I think the song Pawns and Kings for Sin After Sin. He's like, if we do one, we don't do that. So he was telling me how that all works. So, and now you got Reno tomorrow. You're not playing here in Vegas, but you got Reno tomorrow, and then I guess a California date, and then this leg is done.
Correct.
And you get a little break. Is that what happens?
Little break.
Get to actually see your wife.
Power down. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long?
I think about a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just in time for you to go write another solo record?
No comment.
Is there one in the can already?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of ideas. It's just a matter of, you know, whether it's going to be that polka album I've always dreamed.
I still want the album that you didn't release. That's the one I'm really interested in. Do you know about that, Wolf? I've heard
rumblings of it.
Did you hear it?
No, I have not.
It's like his secret record, you know. It was his first solo record. He's never put it out.
Yeah.
Has anyone heard it, Miles? You played it for anyone?
I've played, a handful of people. Yeah, a handful of people have heard it. And, maybe one day we'll figure it out.
All right. So then you guys, and we're going to get to what Wolf's doing, but because are you on the second leg of Alter Bridge dates? Is Mammoth on?
Well, this one is kind of the second leg already. I think there's a third leg.
There's May coming up or something, right?
We're not going to be on. We have to go to Europe.
Okay. So just then you guys do that. Who's your support on that? Do you know?
In
America.
In America, Seven Dust. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is going to be...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. Now, I'm excited, but I mean, Seven Dust... You know, they raise the bar from a live perspective.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they're tough to follow.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right. No, I think you guys will do just fine. That's a great bill. And then you guys, Alter Bridge goes over to Europe, right? You do the summer festivals
We do the summer festivals.
Yeah, I think we meet up a couple times out there.
Over there, okay. Yeah. And then another U.S. run or no for Alter Bridge?
I think we're trying to figure that out. Yeah, trying to put that together. We've been really. Pretty blown away on this U.S. portion. It really kind of like what he was talking about with, you know, his music. You know, we feel like very humbled by the response and the amount of people who are showing up. But my theory is a lot of it is because of these guys. Honestly, I mean, I'm serious.
Well, it's a great bill. It is a great bill. It really is. Both bands are great. And obviously, it's aligned perfectly. I mean, it's a great set across the board. And I went to that show in Jersey. I was texting you guys and Kevin. I mean, I'd never been. I was a shoehorn in there. I mean, it was nuts packed. I've been to that venue many times. It was crazy. So that's really, really awesome to see. All right. And so just in wrapping up with you, Miles, on like the future stuff, has there been talk of doing anything with Slash again? Do you have anything lined up there?
Yeah, we're trying to figure all that out. And, you know, once again, it's just all the moving parts. You know, everybody's got all their various bands, you know, so it's like, where do you find the window? So just trying to figure it out, make something happen.
Because I feel like the Four record, I liked a lot. I loved the songs on it. And I feel like everyone kind of got a little shortchanged on that just because there was such a short window for you guys to play. So there was like a really, it's kind of like what happened with Walk the Sky too.
Yeah.
Because of COVID.
Yeah.
Where there was,
It's true.
It's almost like this tour is also kind of still a continuation of that.
And it kind of happened with my second solo record with Ides of March too. It's just, there were so many, and it got to the point as a writer where you're like, gosh, you put in all this work into making these records and then you only get to tour it X amount of months. So that's been hard, you know, given the circumstances we've all been dealing with over the last few years, but you know, it's all right.
Yeah.
We'll survive.
So, Wolf, what's your schedule then? This wraps up in a couple of days, and then do you go right to Europe, or you have more stuff here?
No, we get a little break, I think like 2 weeks, and then we got to go back in rehearsal. Having the guys come out, we'll be just rehearsing up at 5150. And then we have to go to Amsterdam because we're opening for Metallica.
Well, you got dates in America with Metallica too.
Yeah, that's after all the Europe stuff.
You're laughing like as in it's surreal to say that?
Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, so, and that's just a one-off. And then we come back and get another little tiny break. But I'm sure my manager, Tim, has unknowingly, to me, filled that with a lot of work to do. And then we go to Paris, I believe, is the first show back. And then that's the start of a big over in Europe for like 2 months stuff.
We know that what's happening with the band and your music here in America, it's been very embraced by radio and you've toured here a lot and you got this new record coming, which we'll talk about. But what's the response been to what you've been doing outside of the U.S. in places like Europe? Is it... Do you have a read on that?
If anything, it's I've noticed more of a response.
Really,
having the amazing opportunity to open for AB over there last year, the crowds were crazy. Like the places were practically filled by the time we went on, and we were the first opener.
Hailstorm was
great,
on too, right?
It was a great bill.
Was it Hailstorm?
It was us, Hailstorm, and all.
That's an amazing bill.
But yeah, it's like the place was already packed by the time we went on. So it's like the people were ready and they wanted to see it. And that's amazing because it was the first time we'd ever even been out there.
Yeah.
So
you're just going to just roll as far as dates wherever they are in the world and
we've got our next year and a half pretty much planned. I don't think I've ever known what I was doing casually next summer, let alone knowing that we're going to continue opening for Metallica.
You're giddy when you say that. it's surreal to say, right?
It's going to be crazy.
You know those guys?
I've met James and I've met Lars and that's it.
Yeah. They're great people.
Both very nice guys.
Great people. You know, they did a show, My History. I started working early on as a kid for their original label, Megaforce.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the owners of that label passed away recently. So Metallica did a show in Florida late last year where they played nothing but the first two records as a tribute to the label that started them. And sadly, only me and one other person are left from that era alive. So they flew me down to go out on stage and speak prior to them coming out.
Wow.
So I went down the day before and I hung out and I've known them all for a long time, but we, you know, Lars is like, you got to do this. And I was like, okay. And you know, total, like, I mean, you guys are used to this doing what you do, but for me, a total, like, you know, okay, so here's the plane ticket and the car comes and you get out and the van's there and they hand you your laminate and here's your room key and here's your catering. I'm like, this is fucking awesome, you know? And then here's the whiskey tasting you can go to with Lars if you want to have some of the blackened whiskey. And then they come to the sound check. And it was funny because I was watching those guys sound check. They had it closed to the public, but they said for me to come in. And I'm sitting on the side of the stage and they were playing nothing but the first two records. And they would get up after every other song and like Lars would be shaking out his hands going, Jesus Christ, what was I playing as a kid? And Kirk's coming over to me. He's like, I don't even remember playing half of this shit. You know, they were trying to get it all back. But such great guys and so in touch with their roots and their history. And my, like, I've done a ton of stuff over the years, but my knees were knocking out there in front of Metallica. Just because, really? Well, because, you know, everybody in that audience, like, fucking play Fight Fire with Fire. Shut the fuck up. You know, but it was really important to them that they had me or somebody go out there and explain the reason for the evening, because the most people are there just to hear the old shit, you know, but to explain the significance of it, what it was about, which I didn't get shit thrown at me. So I guess I figured it out. Okay.
Success.
You brought up Fight Fire with Fire. And I'll never forget when I was a kid. I wanted that record for Christmas.
Ride the Lightning.
Yeah, and so my grandmother, my sweet grandmother, was like, "Oh, I'll get you that record for Christmas." So she gets, but I'd like to listen to it with you. So we press play. We're sitting in my bedroom with my boombox, and it starts out that beautiful,
yes, kinda,
you know. And she's like, "This is beautiful, Miles. I love this." And I'm like, mm-hmm, "Wait for it," and then just
that,
like,
volume swell,
boom, and I'll never ever forget the look on grandma's face. She lasted like 30 seconds and she was gonski. It was great.
It's not as big of a thing, but I worked in a record store for many years, and when Extreme had that huge hit with More Than Words, we would sell box loads to housewives. I want that beautiful acoustic song. And they take the record, and the first song on that record is a song called Decadence Dance with a big heavy Nuno riff. And they all come in like, this isn't the record I want. And I, well, it's only track 4. The rest of the record's a rock band. And like, you don't know how many we took back. Like, people insisted, like, well, then just give me the single then. I don't want all this noise. It was really, really funny, actually. So, Wolf, let's talk about this record. First of all, let's talk about the video, which is actually a film. It's like,
we edited a lot out, too, and it still ended up 8 minutes.
Oh, you should have left do the director's cut, man, because who cares? It's on YouTube. It is great. Tell me about putting that together.
We had that idea for a while. I knew after the Don't Back Down video, where if anyone's unfamiliar, it's of all me being the band and everything. And I knew that the next video, I was like, oh, I want to fire me and bring the live guys into it just because I love them and it's a good time. And that's how it rolled out. We did the treatment with Gordy, who directed it. And I think it turned out really, really well. I'm really proud of it.
It's awesome. It's so good. I mean, I put it up for, for an Emmy or something, man. I mean, the acting in it is, it's isn't it Garrett the first guy?
Garrett blew us away.
Garrett kills in it.
And we have so much footage of him just being hilarious and me breaking, like, so many times. Like, we just said, hey, Garrett, act drunk. And he fucking went for it. Every day before the video came out, I was just like, oh, dude, ready. You're going to be a star. You need to get an agent.
But you were brilliant. Like, with the, I love it when you're trying to do the finger tapping part and you're sweating.
Yeah, then, dude. No, that was so funny because Gordy was like right in front of me, and he sprayed me so much with a spray bottle to make it like I was. Yeah. He wanted it very whiplashy.
Oh, it really worked. I mean, I think that's why I think that's one of the best videos I've seen in a long time. And I remember you showed it to me in the dressing room a few weeks ago, and I was just like, this is, I mean, I had to hug you after I saw it because I was like, this is great. You know, this is just absolutely astoundingly good. But a lot of it was your guys' acting chops.
Yeah. You guys are a bunch of De Niro's. You know, it seriously was the scene at the end where you walk in on your own band playing. And you're like, guys, you come in.
I overslept or something. What is this?
Exactly.
Yeah, initially, I think the first take was just like, who the fuck are these guys or whatever. But I was like, let me do one where it's like really emotional. And that's the one that we went for.
It's great. And then what about the scene with the guy with the pizza?
Oh, Ronnie. Yeah, our bass player.
Oh, that's Ronnie?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So because you actually stopped the song.
Yeah.
And he comes in with the pizza.
At a really important part, too, because it's about to go into the thrashy part. But I thought it was just a really funny idea to just have him walk in and be like, pizza for Mammoth.
Mammoth. But that's the cool thing, like, about doing videos now, I would think, is that you can do them. You can really stretch out and do what you want to do, and way more affordably than back in the day when people would drop $500,000 on a video budget. I mean, I'm sure that was way more affordable. But the other thing about it is you don't have this pressure like, oh, I can't do an 8-minute video because MTV is going to cut it down to 3.5. Let it go, man. Why not? Right.
Well, it's important to have a sense of humor and to not take yourself seriously. So it's just it was a good time.
I really want the director's cut, man. I can't wait to see what's in that. You got
to
do that.
Yeah, it'd be fun to put together like a blooper reel or something.
Yeah. So the record is out on August 4th, Mammoth 2.
My Uncle Pat's birthday.
Was that by design?
Coincidentally.
So the record's out on August 4th, still a bit down the line. Yeah. The single is out now, and this first video, Another Celebration at the End of the World. You, on your first record, put a lot of it out in advance of the album actually coming. I think there was anywhere from 4 to 6 songs, actually, for the whole record actually dropped. Are you going to, being that the record's not out till August, are we going to get a lot more songs or no?
I think you'll get a little taste before it drops. Yeah, for sure.
Because I had Matt from Avenged on my show on Tuesday. They haven't made a record in like 6 years.
Their new tune is killer.
Yeah, but their last record, I don't know if you remember, but they did something really different. They didn't tell anybody they had a record coming. And they just showed up and put a record out that day.
Pulled the old Beyonce.
Yeah. Yeah, played on the roof at Capitol Records and all that. And we talked about it. There was a lot of controversy about that and that approach. And he was saying now that this song, he said on the air with me the other day, he said, if I have my way, this will be the only song that comes out before the record. But the label's pushing because it's about analytics and this and that,
content,
all this shit.
Content.
Yeah. So but everybody has a different view on that. Was the idea to put so much out in front of the full record your or the label's idea?
I think it was a combination. I think at least for the first album, it was important to give people a taste of like what to expect because nobody knew what it was. But I mean, with this one, I think it's just, you know, we live in a content-driven era. So it's just important to kind of, you know, every now and then put a thing out and be like, hey, check it out.
Keep greasing the wheel.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, throw a log on the fire.
Where do you land on that, Miles? Do you think it should be like, do you like to just give a little taste and then the record? Or do you guys put out like on Pawns and Kings, you put out good three or four songs, right?
Yeah, I think that's just the way of the world now.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight it. That's the norm.
It's just, you know, I think the days of... It is a content. It's a content-driven world, and you just gotta keep reminding people you're out there. You know, so that's just the way it is.
And Wolf, for this record, you know, there's that old adage that everybody says, your first record, you got your whole life to write. And if I'm not mistaken, stuff on the first record, there was a, that, because I, even before your record came out, I was hearing about it from people for years that telling me they heard songs or whatever. So it had been, and I know some of it you had actually held up just because of what was going on with your dad and his health, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of that record, that really, that record for you really had a long time to sit and kind of ferment, right? This one, the material, did you write all in one shot? Was it all freshly written, or was there a backlog as well?
Pretty much. I think there's some ideas that were just kind of half-baked that I spruced up and finished. But no, the majority of this this new one was fresh, brand new, came after the first album type stuff.
Mm. So did that, the experiences of the first record play into what you wrote in any way?
Yeah, I think it, certainly lyrically, it's way more of an inward album. Like the first one, I think, was very outward, but this one is certainly more. I think just reflects the past few years and just very inward.
Yeah, and when you went in to write it, tell me about how you. I mean, everybody knows you record everything on the records yourself, mm-hmm. So that's a process in and of itself. But as far as writing, What's your process for that? Are you a guy that locks himself in a room and just does it? Or is it just, I'm grabbing the phone, I got an idea, I need my iPhone? And
yeah, it depends. It's kind of just when it strikes. You know, I'll have an idea on the guitar, I'll just record it. And then Elvis and I will get in a room and I just kind of be like, how about this idea? How about this idea? How about this idea? And he's like, that one is good. That one works. This one needs work. Blah, blah, blah. And then I try again. And just keep doing that. You just beat it up.
So how many songs are total on the new record?
It's a 10-song album.
10 songs. And writing wise, how much time did you put in? Like, what was the, it was just cumulative.
Yeah.
Over time.
Yeah. That's tough to calculate. Cause over time you're always writing.
Yeah.
So yeah. Miles, but in terms of, you know, the first album over the course of, 3 years and a bunch of different meeting up with Elvis, to do it. But this one took 2 months, before we went out to Europe with Alter Bridge. I had a month where we recorded all the music, got back, had a tiny little Christmas break, and then January finished it. So this was a lot quicker.
You know, so much made of the video, which we touched on, but the song is killer.
Thank you.
The song kicks ass. It's so killer. So I'm excited, as you know, for, I mean, I love the first record, but I'm excited where this is going. Direction wise, would you say it's a little like this? Is this heavy. An accurate sample of where you're going?
There are definitely some echoes of the first album, if that's the vibe you enjoy, for sure. But overall, I think it's a heavier album. I would like to correct this quote that has been taken out of context for me, saying, oh, there's a bunch of Meshuggah-inspired stuff. It's like, no, I love Meshuggah, but there's only one moment on one song where it's like, oh, yeah, I can see that. That's super Meshuggah-inspired. But that's it. It's not like I didn't play any 8-string guitars.
All right. Miles, you like Meshuggah?
Yeah.
Every musician likes Meshuggah. What is that about?
Because they're amazing.
I don't really know them.
You just need to listen to it.
Not personally. I mean, I don't know their music really, but I know every musician loves that band, and mostly drummers. Is it a percussion thing? I don't know.
It's a rhythm thing, I guess.
And that's your biggest thing. Mm. You love playing drums the most, right? Well,
yeah.
So, writing wise, Miles, you write on the road?
I do. I just started writing again at the beginning of this year. I actually powered down for the first time last year after we finished Ponds. I was like, you know what? I need to stop writing for a while.
Brain hurt.
You know what? I just felt I needed to. I was starting to feel like a lopsided person. I'd spend so many hours every day creating. And that's what I love doing more than anything. I mean, you know how it is. The creative process is the bomb. But I think that I needed to power down and refill the well. So once I reengaged with the creative side, I came to realize that it's kind of, I don't know how it is for you, I love it and I hate it at the same time because it kind of consumes you. I don't sleep.
Oh yeah.
Even as we're sitting here, ideas are playing in my head. Your problem solving. I mean, it's a fascinating.
That's me no matter what though. That's really? How I am. I'm not a songwriter, but my mind doesn't stop. That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
You told me Slash once said to you, looked at you and goes, "You got a lot of traffic going on up there."
You know what? That was like the that was an important moment in my life. You know, we were talking about something. We were sitting in the dressing room and I told him this story about something that prior to when we really knew each other, but we were at an airport terminal in LA together and I had this whole thing concocted in my head. This whole story that I'd kind of manifested and he's listening to me, you know, tell this. And he just kind of looks at me and he kind of takes his glasses and looks down. And he goes, "You got a lot of traffic going on up there." And I'll never forget that. And it was really like, that was an important moment. It's like, basically just chill the fuck out, kid.
Because he always comes off so chill.
Yeah.
I'm so, like, above all his talent and everything, I'm so envious of the fact that he's always just, you know, whenever he's always just like, "Yeah, man," you know, like no matter what's going on. I've been to his house when he was married and like kids running and madness going on around him. And he's just sitting there on the sofa with me with the remote, like nothing's going on, like tune the world out. And I'm like, fuck, I wish I could do that. Like I'm constantly like, even here with the, like I just flew from the East Coast yesterday, 3 hour time difference. You'd think I hit the wall at like 11 o'clock. And no, I'm like, I had to. Oh, Wolf and Miles are coming tomorrow.
I gotta clean the house. Make sure they have some tea.
Do I have water? Am I prepared? You know, it's just fucking nuts. I can't turn it off. It's crazy. But do you have, I know Pawns and Kings is still the current record, but when you write, like you're on the road, are you and Mark writing stuff even?
Oh, we're always separately creating. You know, I can hear him in his dressing room and I'm working away. After all these years of writing, what I've discovered the best thing to do is maintain perspective. And the way to do that is to write and write and write and document the ideas and then get away from them and then come back and listen with fresh ears. Because if I spend a bunch of time on something, you know, days and days and days, then I lose my perspective and then I end up chasing my tail. So I just like to stockpile, like just, you know, I want as many ideas to draw from when it's time to make a record. I want, you know, 50 to 100 ideas, and then you pick the best 10.
When you write stuff for Slash and the Conspirators, are you writing lyrics only?
Lyrics and melodies.
Lyrics and melodies.
And if I get a demo, a music bed, like, was it Rivers Rising is a good example, or is it killer riff? And a section that I thought, man, that would be a cool pre-chorus. And then I just kind of took a piece and put some, you know, bad drum programming and a guitar part, and then added the melody, which would end up be the chorus. And the river is rising. And Slash then took that and then Slashified it, made it more something that he would play. But most of the time the music is done and I just put the melody and the lyric on it.
So that's a huge difference, I would think, in your writing than for Slash versus in Alter Bridge.
Absolutely.
Because Alter Bridge, I'm sure you play guitar in Alter Bridge and you're writing on guitar more, right? You're writing music as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially with this record and even Walk the Sky, I mean, it was basically like just you would just compose the music and then Mark would compose songs and we would just, you know, it used to be we would take individual parts and put them together. And now we're kind of showing each of us bring our 6 songs and then, you know, approach it that way. But who knows? Maybe the next record we'll go back to the older way of doing it.
The thing I noticed too with Alter Bridge is Mark continuing to progress as a singer.
Yeah.
And, you know, even in a song like Sin After Sin, which I love, where you're both singing on that. And then every song he has at least one lead vocal now and all that. His confidence as a singer is just getting more and more. And culminating with this Sinatra stuff he's doing, which as a singer, both of you guys as singers, pretty amazing to see him do that, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's a badass.
I mean, that's crazy. Great. To see. Not something people would expect, but he's really, he was playing me some stuff that wasn't released yet the other day, you know, at that show in Jersey. And I was like, wow, I mean, he's got a whole nother thing going on.
It's I think it's really just, he really enjoys it. Hearing how he studied Frank's inflections and his approach, I think it has really helped. It's helped him a lot. I think it's really helped him evolve. So it's been great.
Starting to look like him a little
bit. He kind of does look like him.
That's why he's not here right now. He's at Sinatra's old theater, probably. Like in a suit, trying to.
Right?
No, I think he's playing pinball, isn't he, Kev? He's out there playing pinball.
He said he was going to go to the pinball.
Yeah, there's a pinball, great pinball museum here in Vegas, which I told him about. So I'm glad he's there because it's a really cool spot. They got all kinds of machines.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Grateful to have Miles Kennedy and Wolfgang Van Halen here with me today hanging out. Again, they are on tour together for a couple more shows. So if you're in Reno, or where is the California show to be exact, just so we can...
Yamava.
Yamava?
That's the casino name.
Casino.
It's in High Island.
And when is that, Saturday?
Saturday.
Is that the last one?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So two more. Reno.
Right on the outskirts of San Bernardino.
All right, and by San Bernardino. So you get a chance to go see and go. My gosh, if you're in that area of the country... see these two extraordinary bands. They're just killer and, you know, truly live, real bands. No bullshit, no nothing going on. Everyone's singing, playing. What a friggin' concept. God, I'm not going to start. Anyway.
I won't.
No, you can start all you want. People are sick of hearing me talk about it, but I won't stop. When I swung in Jersey, there was a third band too, right?
Yeah,
it's called Red.
Red. Yeah,
are they still on too?
No.
We've got Pistols at Dawn.
Yeah.
Okay, don't know them, but I heard great things about Red, but I didn't see them. I got there too late. But
yeah, great.
All right, cool. So go, and then again, Wolf's album. We'll do more when the record's closer. Of course, August 4th is the release date, and for Miles, just keep chugging with Alter Bridge. See what happens with Slash when he ever gets over this fling with this other band. You know, that keeps adding the Normodomes of the world. And maybe another solo record?
We'll see.
Yeah. He's being cagey.
I
think he's got it done.
Back pocket. You're talking to a guy who shelved an entire record. So a lot of it depends on whether, you know, I'm funny that way.
Has to do with that traffic in your head, right?
Exactly.
I got you. All right, let's get some calls for the guys right now. Here's Joey in New York. Go ahead, Joey.
Hey, everyone. Hey, guys. My question's for Wolfie. First of all, congratulations on the new record you got out.
Thank
I love
you.
The song.
Thank you.
And I'm a drummer. The love drummer has for the drums is like you can't parallel it. So I wanted to know who are your inspirations as a drummer, and if you had any great story to share about you and one of my favorite drummers in the world, your Uncle Alex.
I think always, you know, it's funny. I never really mention when it comes to my inspirations, Dad or Al, because I think it's just so inherent. Like they're already there that I don't even need to mention it. But when it comes to drummers, a big drummer for me is Danny Carey.
From Tool.
Yeah. Like learning how to play Tool stuff is what really upped my game.
Literally a big drummer. He's like 7 feet tall.
Yeah, he's a very tall man. But also, another big drummer that really helped me early on was Travis Barker. I was really big into Blink-182 growing up, and learning how to play Anima of the State front and back when I first started learning how to play was a big help.
When you were touring in Van Halen, what was that like locking in with your uncle and working through all those songs?
Oh, so fun. Just being able to lock with Al and not have to worry about singing lead now, which is a thing that is I have to worry all the time about now in Mammoth. But yeah, you'd be surprised at how much Al and I would save Dad, and he would have no idea.
How so?
Dad could not count. He would always end on like a 3 or a 5. And there were so many times where he would mess up and Al and I would just go right in, and Dad would turn around and be like, yeah, we're doing pretty good. And he'd have no idea that we just totally saved him.
How is your Uncle Al doing?
He's doing really good.
Hanging in there?
I talk to him all the time. Every time we got a big show or something's going on, he always texts me good luck. And so, yeah.
You know, I had Michael Anthony on this show last week, and he said he's been talking to Al mm-hmm. a little bit, and they've been talking.
Yeah, we talk every now
and
then, too. I love Mike.
Yeah, so Mike seems to be doing well, and he's kind of looking at doing something because Sammy's 75, and although he's not retiring, he's kind of like feeling like he's going to wind down a little bit, which for him, he's like us, I think. He never, you know, he's got to go.
Yeah.
I think he says one thing, but... You know,
he's got a very young spirit. I don't see him slowing down.
Yeah. And Michael was talking about, and I know, Wolf, you mentioned this in interviews too, that finally that the Sammy period of the catalog is getting addressed as far as some reissues and stuff.
About time.
Yeah. So have you been involved in that at all?
I've been in the, you know, how do I say this? Yeah. Cause I mean, obviously when it comes to all, end all be all Van Halen decision making, that's Al, but, I'm right there in the wings. Filling Dad's position in terms of you know, looking over stuff. So yeah, I'm definitely there.
And somebody told me that A Different Kind of Truth was not on streaming for a long time, but
really?
is now.
Okay.
Has come back. Do you know anything about like the ownership of that record? And it's the one record you're on, obviously.
Yeah. You know what? I'll have to check with all the business peeps.
Somebody said it was gone for a while, but apparently it like moved to a different label group or something. And
yeah, maybe the contract
might
is
come
up
back or something.
It's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a, yeah, you know what? I'll check with Al.
I've said before, I think that's a very, very, in some ways, if there is such a thing, as an overlooked, underrated Van Halen record. I really feel it is.
It was fun. I'm proud of what I did on that.
It's great songs on there, man. It's really like it's really a fun record. I listen to it all the time. Okay, let's go to Benjamin, who's in Los Angeles. Hey, Ben.
Hi. I just wanted to say hi to y'all. I appreciate what you do. Miles, thanks, the other man. Night in Anaheim, the show stopped. You stopped the show. Was there something wrong with the... somebody in the audience? Did they get hurt or something?
Yeah, somebody in the front row. I think he might have passed out, and so we just wanted to stop and while they, you know, helped him out. And he's all right. Yeah, he got up, and everything was good.
That's... Yeah, I just really loved the show. I saw that. I saw the look on your face, and I was getting concerned. And I think my wife's asking what's going on. And I said, I'm going to ask him.
Sometimes things like that happen, and you're in the middle of a song, and you always want to err on being cautious. You know, if somebody goes down, people need to, you know, if they need to communicate and need to try and talk to the person, they don't have to fight over, 120 decibels of volume. So yeah, but I think everything was all right. So appreciate your concern there.
Yeah, and thank you for doing that. You guys are professional, and I just love you guys. Great. You're one of my guitar heroes, and of course your buddy Mark there too.
Wow, thank you. And I really appreciate it.
And Wolfgang,
that.
Loving what you're doing, man. Loving it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Eddie, and thank you for everything you do in rock, brother.
Thank you, Benjamin. Appreciate that. Miles, have you seen a lot of that in all your years of touring? Have you had instances where you've had to stop the show?
Yeah.
You've seen something go on?
Yeah, once in a while. I mean, it's not I don't think it's something that it's not a regular thing, but when it happens, you have to be, you have to be aware of it. It's always kind of, it's interesting because you're always kind of surveying what's going on.
That's the thing for me. I sing with my eyes closed a lot of the times. I have my Uncle Pat here to go. Like if anything is happening, you run out and you grab me and you're like, God, we got to stop. There's something going on. Because I get, it's funny when I start to people watch and I see like, oh, wow, they're singing. And then by the time I have a thought, I'm not singing. So I need to, or I mess it up. So it's important to.
It happened to me last night where someone's singing along and then I forget what the next lyric
is. Oh yeah.
Is.
It's so weird because it's like the lyrics are muscle memory ingrained, right. But like I'll be singing the verse and going to the pre-chorus. I'm like, what's the pre-chorus? What's the pre-chorus?
Yeah.
What's the pre-chorus? Oh, I'm in the pre-chorus. What's the, and I just completely, it's gone.
So you've looked at the people singing in the audience, your own lyrics.
Yeah. And but sometimes it'll be one of two things. They'll be kind of off or I'm so blown away that they know the lyrics. And then I start thinking, wow, that's so cool. Oh, what's the next lyric?
Exactly.
And so it's always this for me, the problems are the second verse, the first line of the second verse and pre-choruses. What is it about those two? Yeah. Those are the problems. Yeah. For us.
But even for you, this is a, first of all, Wolf, you always have your eyes closed when you're singing?
Not always, but I don't. It helps me put me in a place where yeah. I can get it done. Because sometimes I just my brain just goes way hyperactive. Usually by the end of a tour, I can look around, but also I feel uncomfortable because it's like everybody's looking at me, and I'll lock eyes with a couple right. people, and it's like. Look at everybody. Look, there's five guys up here. Look at them.
What about shades? Do you wear shades when you sing?
Nah, that would be weird.
That's interesting.
But almost like wearing shades indoors at 1 o'clock, right?
But it is. Yeah, exactly.
He's wearing shades now. Yeah, that's why I just said that.
But you know, it is. It happened last night. Sometimes if the lights are too bright. I start.
Oh yeah. The lights are sometimes they're super fucking bright. Yeah. So it's just like, I'm just going to close my eyes.
And you feel, yeah, but you feel self-conscious. Like, why were people looking at me? Yeah. Do I have a zit? What's wrong with, did I zip up my pants? I mean, So
you don't acknowledge that they're looking at you because you're Miles Kennedy, the lead singer of Alter Bridge.
Honestly, I'll be totally honest with you. I love playing music. I'm a little weird with when you realize people are engaging and looking at you, I get so, kind of strange.
Yeah, I kind of don't trust anyone who enjoys that.
Right? I know.
Who gets up on stage and goes like, oh yeah, look at
yes.
me. Like
exactly.
You got to be an asshole to be that guy.
Look at me.
I don't want to say anything, Wolf, but your dad used to have a singer that loved doing that. Let's be honest.
Hey, me too.
He made his whole career doing that.
Yeah, it's a funny.
I'm going to be honest. This is me talking as a fan. Before you were born, I used to go see Van Halen all the time. And I used to lose my mind because there were moments, and I'm sure you've seen it on video, where Dave would come out to the end of the stage and extend his arms and literally let the crowd applaud for like 8 minutes to 9 minutes without doing anything. Just standing there like, you know, soak me in, right?
Right.
And I used to, as a fan, as a kid, go crazy because I'm thinking to myself, Van Halen songs on average are about 3 minutes long. I could be hearing three more fucking songs when this guy's standing there, whether he's swinging a sword around or in a cape or whatever he's doing. I was like, I could be hearing Light Up the Sky. I could be hearing DOA. Like, what's going on here? That was the Dave thing at the time. But it's interesting because both of you guys, this just hit me as front men, which you are in your respective bands, are not prototypical front men at all. I mean, you both are not seeking that attention, which is not what comes with that territory normally. Right?
I'm alarmingly casual on stage. I just kind of talk to the crowd like they're my buddies. You know, I've learned that I don't really need to put on this face or shtick. I'm just like unabashedly being myself when I talk to the audience, and it's fun. I think people have actually been appreciating it. So
it's because you're being authentic. Yeah. And it is really great to see. I made the mistake early on. I feel like, I really struggled initially when I started playing with Slash because I was trying to be more of a quote unquote front man. And I'll never forget it. As long as we played a gig at the Gorge opening for Aerosmith. And I was doing some of the kind of cliches and I remember my mom and dad after the show, they were like, it wasn't like, that was wonderful. That was great. They just said, remember who you are. And I was like, whoa. And that changed everything for me. I was from that point on, I've just been like, you know what? I'm just going to be me. Yeah. And if you like it, great. If not, that's okay too. I just want my mom to like me.
As long as mom says you're good,
exactly.
You're good. Exactly. But Miles, a lot of that for you, because we've talked about this in the past, what people don't realize about you is that your big passion is playing guitar.
Yeah.
And it comes from the fact that you, especially with Slash initially, I'm sure you felt almost naked out there without a guitar, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you want to see something really funny, watch the first Alter Bridge video. Watch Open Your Eyes. Like, I'm just like, I don't know what to do with my hands. It's hilarious.
Why are you not playing guitar in the video?
No, I didn't even have a microphone. It's just me on the top of a mountain, you know, ah! And it's just like really, it's hard to watch. It's brutal.
Let me ask you this then real quick. So I touched on this earlier. As many people know, and I know it's a surreal thing for you to talk about, but as we know, you were one of the guys in there working with Page, Jimmy Page, and John Paul Jones and Jason Bonham on a potential, maybe if it wouldn't have been called Zeppelin, but something at that time coming off that O2 show. If that would have happened and you would have landed that gig, you would have had been looked at as the guy who had to be the new Golden God.
Yeah, I don't know how that would have panned out. I don't know how that would
have. He's already a Golden God.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But yeah, that would have been. Because that would have been interesting.
You would just be saying mama a lot more when you're riffing.
Baby, let the juice go down.
Well,
my
leg. That's the guy. Right. Like, you know, you can't.
You're not going to go out there and try to be Robert Plant. No. Have you ever seen Jason Bonham's band, the Led Zeppelin?
Only like YouTube and some really. I'm really blown away with that.
That singer is amazing. But he does, and to his credit, he doesn't try at all. Yeah. He has a shaved head, comes out in a button-down shirt, and sings the shit out of the songs.
That's cool. Awesome.
Which I think is so cool, because if Jason would have gotten a guy with like blonde hair and the, you know, dove on his arm and all.
Dove on his arm.
Well, you know that classic picture where, you know the picture I'm talking about?
Yeah.
With Robert Plant, you know?
But dove on his arm.
You know, pigeon landing on him or whatever.
That would be dangerous for that bird's eardrums.
It sure would.
But you know, Wolf, he talks about seeking his mom's approval. You know, a lot of people talk about your dad and his approval and influence on you, but your mom, she's got to be super proud of what's gone on with you.
Oh yeah,
huh?
I don't need to seek her approval. She is very happy and proud of everything I do.
Has she come to many shows?
She comes to all of them. She's very excited. She
she's awesome.
My mom she's a very proud mother.
As she should be. Is she in the wings jumping around and?
Yeah, she. Yeah. Yes.
Knows all the words.
My uncle will tell you.
Pat, she's sure. You got to keep an eye on her. Pat's saying yes. She's
got the
job. Oh, gosh. Too funny. Let's go to Les, who's in Nashville joining us. Or I'm sorry, it's Lee. Lee in Nashville. Go ahead, Lee.
Yes, sir. I'm geeking out right now because these two of my biggest heroes right now. I went and saw Wolfgang in Louisville with Diamond Dave on their last tour. And then when Mammoth came out, we went to go see him in Nashville and they got COVID. So we had to drive all the way to Chattanooga to see him, which was awesome. And then Alter Bridge was coming with him in Nashville. And to be honest, I'd never heard of Alter Bridge. So we got Pawns and Kings and then the set list. And the show at the Ryman was truly the best rock concert I've ever seen, and I'm 54. It was just amazing. And so now we're going to see Alter Bridge in Chattanooga at the same venue that we saw Mammoth. And then we've got tickets to see Mammoth opening for Metallica in Texas. I guess it's in October, maybe August. I don't know. But so excited. But two quick questions are, what was it like to play at the Ryman and Miles for, you know, a new guy just found Alter Bridge, which rock and roll is not dead. You guys are insane. What's my next go-to album now that I've got the set list and I've played Pawns and Kings till I can't play it anymore?
I'm gonna answer it for Eddie.
But you give your honest,
I think we're gonna answer the same.
Are you really?
Yeah, I think okay. We'll answer, but Wolfgang and I both appreciate.
Yeah,
that.
Thank you so
that
much,
really,
man.
That was
very,
really,
that's
really, really
super
kind of you. And playing the Ryman is just, mind blowing.
I think you guys did that on this tour.
That's
the show that really stuck out from the last leg. Was like, wow, that was a really special gig.
I've never been there.
It's outstanding.
You know, it's funny. We had watched Walk the Line a couple days before. I was like, oh shit, that's where Johnny Cash like broke the shit out of those lights on that stage. It was like, wow. And then we played it. It was amazing.
So the album I would suggest, Fortress.
There you go.
Yeah,
Miles and I are in agreement on that, Lee. That album is top to, again, I got to be careful when I say this, because when people, I say it, people think I'm, I feel like it's so head and shoulders above everybody, all the other records, but it's, I do love all the other records. I really do. But there's something
Blackbird's really special
about Fortress. I know a lot of people go Blackbird, but I think maybe I think the reason why I don't go Blackbird is because
you like Fortress more.
No, oh, well, that's true. Good point. Well,
very logical.
Smart guy. Well,
yeah.
But no, because I only got, I got into Alter Bridge on AB3. So I got into Alter Bridge after Blackbird and then went back.
Got it.
You on there, I think I told you this story, but I knew you through Slash and everything, but I'll never forget, there was a Slash show, House of Blues, when it was there in LA, and I'm in the dressing room and Lemmy was there. I'll never forget, Lemmy was in the dressing room, had a girl on each arm, and he yelled at me because I went to the drink refrigerator and didn't get alcohol. I'll never forget, I came back and he goes, I go back to continue talking to him, and it was like 2 a.m. I just wanted to have a water, because like, what's the point of drinking it this late? I'm just going to go to bed, right? And he looks at me, just give me the stink eye. He goes, what are you doing with that? I go, just getting a water. And I goes, come back and talk to me when you have a proper drink. So I had to go back to the refrigerator and get a beer to come back to keep talking to him. But I remember you were like rustling your stuff in the corner of the room, and you're walking out, and you said, hey, it's my other band, a new record we got coming out from them. Check it out. And you gave me a CD of AB3. And I listened. So that was my gateway.
Right.
And then, you know, Fortress and everything. I'm super fan now. But that's probably why I go Fortress over Blackbird, just because that was the...
Yeah, Blackbird was my first album. So
Blackbird was your first.
First Alter Bridge album.
Right, right. But when we talked about earlier about songs you have to have in there, Blackbird is one of those songs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's showstopper there.
That's I'm stoked that you guys have been playing Come to Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad we're playing that again, too. It's a fun riff.
I think from Fortress, you're only doing Achilles, right?
Achilles and Addicted to Pain.
Oh, Addicted to Pain. Yeah. Right. Okay, cool. All right. Let's say hi to Jeff, who's in Palm Springs, joining us right now. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Hey, so I just want to say this is really awesome to be able to talk to both Wolfgang and Miles, because seriously, you guys give me hope for the future of real rock and roll, because you guys are truly live and what you do is amazing. Thanks to Classic Rock Magazine for turning me on to Alter Bridge and Eddie Trunk, with the combination of those two, and also Slash's band. I'm going to be there on Saturday to see you guys at the casino in San Bernardino that I can't even pronounce the name of, but I'm super excited.
Nobody can.
Hell yeah.
Don't say that. You don't want to say, as frontmen, you guys don't want to say from the crowd, hey, welcome to Yamashama, everybody. Just be like, San Bernardino.
All I know is that I live in Palm Springs, so it's an hour drive, and that's what GPS is for. It's all good. But so what can I say? My favorite song from the new Alter Bridge record is the Fable of the Silent Sun. Did I get that right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's killer.
God, that's a great song. That's such a great record. And the new Mammoth WVH song, that is just ripping. It's just so good. I can't wait to hear it live. And Wolfgang, you've got more talent in your little finger than most people have in their whole bodies. And you need to give yourself more credit as a lead singer. Because your voice is great. It suits that music so well. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, you haven't seen us live yet.
Are you doing the new song live? Have you put it in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's in already?
I wanted to play it earlier, but Kevin over here was like, no, you can't do that.
Publicists always put the kibosh on good stuff.
Sorry, I'll get to my question really fast. But
go ahead, Jeff, real quick.
I'm super excited to see Alter Bridge for the first time. I've seen you with Slash, and that's going to be great. My question is, if you guys had to pick one album, like, what is your all-time favorite greatest rock record ever made if you're on a desert island? Thank you, guys.
Oh man, rock record.
Great. That's such a hate questions like these.
So do I.
Like,
I get them too.
I'm gonna sneak a little iPod that has all of them on the
you can't pick one record. That's impossible.
That's a tough one.
That's impossible. I mean, I would have trouble coming up with five.
Yeah.
Is there a record you guys go to like when you just, you know, it's like a comfort food for you, like the record you always go to when you need that? What is it, Miles?
Well, for comfort food,
Steely
Dan Asia.
Oh, okay.
It just makes me feel good. Oh, it just makes me feel so good.
Sonically, crazy sounding.
It's just so good. But the songs are great in Steely Dan.
Highway to Hell.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
or Power Rich. I can't choose.
Didn't you say, well, last time you were on with me, you said you and your dad had a record that you always...
Power Rich.
It was Power Rich.
That and Peter Gabriel's So, those two albums.
Yeah.
Very special albums.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. Good question there. Well, I want to go back to one other thing that came up earlier, though. When you guys were talking about remembering lyrics and forgetting lyrics on stage, this is something that that fans can't understand. And there are fans that get really irritated if they see a musician using a teleprompter. Mm-hmm. I don't. Mm-hmm. I get irritated if it's fake and they're lip syncing, it's tracks, it's a laptop. I don't give a shit if they're looking at a prompter. It doesn't bother me, but some fans do. But no, you guys write your lyrics, obviously. Nobody can figure out how it's possible if you've written lyrics and songs you've done 20, 30 times. Like Rob Halford got a lot of blowback a few years ago because he had a teleprompter for breaking the law or something.
No, that's dumb. I think you should be having a teleprompter there is not a big deal.
It's not a big deal to me either. But the idea, Wolf, is like fans can't understand how can you not remember songs you've done a million times.
We're just talking about it. You got a lot of traffic going up there, you know, any given day, and it's like, what if something's going on? You never know. For me, it's like the lyrics are so ingrained, but the second you start thinking about it is when they disappear. And so I'd love to have a little teleprompter there at some point when we can afford it for the, like, just, that'd be really cool.
You can have your mom work it. She's there all the time. Anyway, give her a job.
No, I think that's
not shaking his head.
I think that's a cool thing. It's one thing. Yeah. I think that goes back to the whole tracks argument. I think it's not like having tracks. It's one thing to say, you can't afford a symphony, so you got violins and stuff pumping through, which is like, okay, whatever.
Song or whatever. Yeah, I'm fine with that,
but
too.
When you've got like main guitar tracks and drums and main vocals going through, that's when, like, how can you, like, where's your integrity, man?
With you 100%, man. But did you ever use a prompter?
Oh, yeah.
Do you use one now?
Yeah, absolutely. Because what happens after you've made as many records,
the songs they have, all the 8-minute songs they have.
Exactly.
Eight-minute epics.
But also between all of the bands, I don't know how many.
Miles starts singing Slash song.
Exactly.
Seriously, it's happening. But it's interesting because I very rarely actually utilize it.
But
it's
the comfort is that it's
comfort.
There.
And when you get to that second verse, you're like, what's the first word? You just look down like, okay, it's the.
Usually if you can see that first word, that's initially when I'm singing and I'm like, what's the next thing? If I can think of the first word, it's there.
Yeah.
So it's like, just have that cue.
Now, let me just pick up real quick on something I just picked up on. So Wolf is saying he would love to have a prompter when he can afford one. You have one. You can't share your prompter with Wolf.
What's that about?
Jesus.
I thought that, since he's a genius, I was like, in fact, I always kind of joke him after a show. I always want to hug him right when he gets done because he's kind of sweating. Because I want some of that genius juice on the body.
You can have my juice anytime you want, Miles.
And there's the headline.
There it is. Clickbait. Wolfgang offers Miles his juice. Blabbermouth, get on it.
Had to happen at some point.
Oh, God. Thankfully, we're done in 10 minutes. Don't worry, guys. I saw Wolf check his watch. Here's Pete. I don't know. Where is Nova Scotia? Pete, are you Nova Scotia?
That is correct. And how am I going to follow that juice?
You got some juice for us, Pete?
I certainly do. You know what? I love you. You guys are so inspiring. I just love both you guys so much. You're going to have to get the directions to Nova Scotia from my man Miles there because he and Slash put on one hell of a show here. And Wolf, we would love to have the benefit of your brilliance anytime. I got to say,
and
I
his
have,
juice.
I have a son, and I've named him Sammy after Sammy Hagar. He's an absolute monster on guitar. He's been playing for 8 months. I've been playing for 40 years, did the bar band thing. I'm just a dad, but aside from making sure that the guitars are in tune and he's got lots of fresh EVH strings and all that good stuff, is there anything I can do for my son other than stay out of the way, answer the questions when put, what would you guys say it would be the best thing a loving dad can do? Because I love my boy, but he's really gifted.
It sounds like you're already doing it. You're supporting him. You're staying out of the way. You're helping him when he needs it. Sounds like you're doing a kick-ass job already, man.
Jeez. Definitely. Well, yeah. I don't know, Miles. What do you got?
I think Wolfgang just hit it right on the head. I mean, I think that it's the idea of that's that love factor and that support factor, and that's something that I had tons of from my folks. Even when they kind of questioned, I'll never forget when I sat down with them. I started on the trumpet thanks to my mother. She kind of insisted I play an instrument initially, and I just wanted to play soccer at the time. And then fast forward a few years later, interestingly enough, I hear a certain Van Halen 1 record, and I am like, oh, what is that? I want to do that. So I remember, you know, asking my parents if I could play guitar, and they were cool initially when it was acoustic, but when the idea of bringing an electric came into the equation, that was when they thought, where's this going? But I think they did some soul search, and they realized that they were going to be supportive, and if it made me happy, and it all worked out. So yeah, just keep doing what you're doing.
Nothing you can do better as a father than to unconditionally yes. love and support your child.
Yeah, there you go. Good stuff. Couple more quick ones, then we'll wrap up. Here's Brian in Texas joining us right now. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Eddie. Good to talk to you. I got a question for Miles. Miles, I've been hitting Eddie up for a while now about the album Fortress, because to me, start to finish, it's an absolute masterpiece. But to me, I think it's sending a message about, like, perhaps it's a concept album, you know, because there's destruction of the earth, destruction of relationships, you know, how we abuse the earth. So I was wondering if you can tell me, is Fortress a concept album?
I do think there were some themes that ran throughout. I don't think that one was a concept record. I think that, it's interesting as a writer, and Wolfgang, you probably noticed this as well, where you're in a space, right?
Certainly.
And you keep drawing from that same spot. So it will run congruent throughout the album. But that wasn't intentional. It wasn't an intentional effort to, you know, when we sit down, like, okay, we're going to write a record.
It's definitely a snapshot of your thought process and where your brain is at that time.
Absolutely. Well, definitely a masterpiece, that's for sure.
Thank you very much.
Eddie, I want to apologize. I didn't get to see you at your show in McKinney, but couldn't make it happen. But hopefully next time when you're in town, I'll get to see you.
Yeah, man, I try to do that about once a year. It's a great crowd, but come out next time, Brian. Thank you. Take care, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, Water is Rising, you've done live mm-hmm. still, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's another one that shows up every once in a while, right?
I love the bridge in that song.
Yeah, it's killer. Let's say hi to Rick, who's in North Carolina. Hey, Rick, you're on Trunk Nation. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Eddie, as always, thanks for what you do for rock and roll.
Thank you, man.
Miles, I think I saw you and Alter Bridge maybe 13 years ago in Beaugency, Louisiana, and what I remembered, a lot of pyro kept us warm. Wolfgang,
you guys had a lot of pyro in Alter Bridge?
Maybe.
You sure? I never saw you at pyro. You sure you went at a Rammstein show?
You know what? It could be. That was when we just throw M80s out.
Nice and safe.
Yeah, exactly. Wolfgang, never got to see your dad live. Almost did in about 90, 91. I hate I never did, but surely all of us miss him. But what I want to ask you was, one thing I've learned about, or I've heard about you said it earlier, don't take yourself seriously. Can you explain the album artwork for your first album?
Yeah, it's an amazing piece called Fatigue 2 by an artist named John Rossio. Neither of the Mammoth album covers were commissioned. They were pieces already that I resonated with greatly. And I think with that first album, I think it represented the core of what Mammoth was. You know, I think it was important to that when it comes to the word Mammoth, it's describing something big, something huge, and not making you think of a hairy elephant. But yeah, I was really taken aback by his whole, he has a whole series of little things being big, just kind of fucking shit up. And I thought that crab was really badass.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't educated on the art side of it, but I guess I was thinking kind of opposite what it was. It was just kind of so different, I really couldn't put my finger on it, but just wanted to pick your brain on it and let you explain it. I do appreciate it, guys.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Rick. Maybe time for one or two more quick ones. Here's Mike in Calgary, Canada. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good. Hey, just a couple things here. Wolfie, I think you're just absolutely wonderful, brother. I love your stuff. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just
thank
be you.
Thank you so much, man.
And it's great.
Thank you.
You betcha. And Miles, I've been waiting for this for the last, I don't know, almost 20 years. You are probably one of my biggest inspirations. Why? Because I lost my dad back in 2005, and you guys were just coming out with the Still Remains album that came out, and that really got me through that. And my mom just passed away 4 years ago. It'll be 4 years this Easter. And you just, I don't know, you just really got me through all of this. And I can't thank you enough, Miles, and the guys and the rest of Alter Bridge and Mark and everybody. And hopefully I can thank you in person. And the next thing I just want to say is, when are you guys going to do a run in Canada? Like, you guys have a lot of fans here, like Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Saskatoon, Vancouver. You guys need to come, because we
you know, you know, Mike, they were just telling me, they were just telling me before how much they fucking hate Canada.
No, that's not
that,
true.
The bands absolutely pick where not, they man. Play, and they discriminate against certain countries and areas. I hear from these bands all the time. I'm joking. I'm making that up, because so many, you know, that fans think that sometimes when you don't go to a certain city. Right. Like, he was not like my city.
Oh, I've made that joke plenty of times. Someone's like, hey, why didn't you come to my place? Right. And I'm like, oh, it's because I don't like you. You're there. No, but
sorry, Mike. I just thought it was so heartfelt what you said. I just wanted to break the. But condolences to you, Mike,
and thank you, man. Really thank you for sharing that. You have no idea what that means. And I will say, you know, we did do Toronto recently, which was crowd was outstanding. It was amazing.
It was the first show to sell out too.
Yeah,
I missed that show, Miles. And I missed that show, Miles, because I bought the meet and greet, and I did buy tickets, and I missed it because I was stuck because I was driving. So, I just missed you guys in Spokane. It just seems like I just been missing it.
They're avoiding you, Mike. I told you. I got to run, Mike.
Always
it's a
one
conspiracy.
Step ahead.
They're like, we got to stay away from Mike in Calgary no matter what we do. We got to stay away.
I love Canada, man.
I do too.
I'm a big hockey fan, so anytime I can be over in Canada, it's always a good time.
Yeah, we're on in US and Canada. I get a ton of calls from Canada, and as I'm telling you, Fitz and Kern's come, and I do shows dedicated to just Canadian rock. We sit in here and do this.
So much good Canadian.
It's
every
fun.
Canadian I know is just like the best person.
Yeah, they're all nice people. Yeah, they're not dicks like we are in the U.S.
We're the worst.
I got 2 minutes, guys, and then I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to end my show. I can't thank you enough for coming here and on a day off and hanging out with me. I greatly appreciate it. And again, we'll recap on Mammoth 2. It's still WVH, right?
Yeah.
Because I looked on the artwork for the cover. It says Mammoth.
Yeah, the album is called Mammoth 2.
Mammoth 2.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's August 4th. Pat's birthday.
Yeah, huh?
And by design, dedicated to him. It's a big picture of you on the back of the jacket, I know.
Well, he's the skeleton.
Oh, there you go. Another celebration at the end of the world. If you've not seen the video, get online, get on the website or YouTube or whatever, and go watch the video. It's phenomenal. Again, we talk so much about the video. The song is killer, but the video just takes it over the top. It's awesome. And,
and while you're there, you can subscribe to the Mammoth WVH YouTube channel too.
There you go. And you can see Wolf and Mammoth WVH, a phenomenal band, live playing everywhere, and dates with Metallica all over the world, everything coming up, which is awesome. And then more Alter Bridge stuff, pretty much that's pretty much the year for you, right? Is Alter Bridge?
Yeah.
That's
Alter Bridge all the time.
Good. And maybe a record that he made that we don't know about.
We'll see.
Maybe he's going to knock a record out in his room tonight and, you know, on the bus or whatever. Anything else, Miles, you want to mention?
Nope. It's all good, man. Thanks for having us. This has been a lot of fun.
Always a good time.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you guys coming by. I really do. And safe travels out there the rest of the way. And we'll be looking forward to, this new record, second record from Mammoth, and then everybody check out Pawns and Kings from Alter Bridge, which is out there right now. And if you slept on the last Slash album 4, because it's a very short window that Slash had to promote it, There's some great songs on that record, so definitely go check that out as well. Miles got two solo records out. Go check those out if you didn't get those last time around. There's just too much great rock goodness between the two of you guys here. And thank you for keeping it real, too, both of you guys. Awesome. Well, again, big thanks to Wolf and Miles for dropping by my place in Vegas and sitting in with me live on the radio that day as they were making their way on a day off to Reno. Later on that night, we got to hang out a little bit as well, which was a lot of fun. Frank Sidoris, who plays guitar in Mammoth, has a bar in Vegas called the Hard Hat Lounge. We all went there that night after you heard that interview and had a great time. And as I mentioned, since that interview aired and what you just heard happened, another run of dates has been announced for all of August in the U.S. for Alter Bridge, Mammoth WVH, and Seven Dust now being added to the bill. But that's how it went that day about, 5 weeks ago or so with Miles Kennedy and Wolfgang Van Halen hanging out with me there in Vegas. Hope you enjoyed the interview. Thank you all for listening. At Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook page. Again, come on board and join me every day on SiriusXM Faction Talk 103 live 3 to 5 Eastern Time or anytime on the SiriusXM app to get the entire picture, all the audio, all the interviews, all the commentary, all the phone calls, and video too on some stuff, again, on the app. Thank you again. Have a great week. I will be back next week, coming back from the Monsters of Rock cruise. So God knows what we'll get into on board the ship. That's finally happening. It's been a long time coming, always a blast, and I always have a fun time hosting that, which I'll be doing at the time you're hearing this. As a matter of fact, at the time you're hearing this, it's the last day of the cruise, and I'll be making my way off the ship. So hopefully I recovered. Hopefully I survived. Have a good week, everybody. Hope to catch you on the radio or back here next week for another podcast. Take care.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.